Chapter 4, Syndications, Roles and Responsibilities. The wise wage earner of today invests his money in real estate. Andrew Carnegie. Lazy equity. Let me introduce you to Greg. When I met him, Greg had $800,000 in home equity. Greg knew it was lazy equity, but he didn't understand just how lazy it was. That is, until I sat down with him on a quick Zoom call and ran him through the numbers. You have $800,000 not doing jack, I told him. It could be making you at least 12%. That's $96,000 a year. I explained more. That money is like you and your wife having a third spouse who works for you, tax-free, contributing to your household. Well, sure, said Greg, but I don't have the time to manage any more rentals, and I'm tapped out at work, he admitted. I could get this equity working, but I wouldn't know where to start, and the on-ramp would take a lot of time investment. I just can't scale up with what I am doing. I told him about our syndication deal. He could be a limited partner, LP, in a more stable commercial asset, with no management duties, no personal liability, and no more loans in his personal name. He would get all the tax benefits and be able to utilize great commercial debt options and partake in the equity upside of being a partner on the deal. Greg was floored. He was a numbers guy, and he could not argue with those numbers. Greg signed up for our very next syndication deal and began building a diversified portfolio of these passive holdings. What exactly is a syndication? Syndications are the primary investment method for growth at floor 2 of the wealth elevator. When you invest in syndications, you stop needing personal oversight of every project. That means you can scale up your investments in a major way. On this floor, you are looking at a monthly cash flow of $5,000 to $20,000 and a net worth of $500,000 to $2.5 million. If you, like most of those who get referred by past clients, have never owned rentals, and you are able to jump ahead of the basement or floor one's painstaking landlord activities, welcome. At its heart, syndication is just a word for pooling your money together with other people to buy something, typically something out of the price point reach of just one person. I mentioned that in Hawaii, we call this thing a hui. Others call it a simple joint venture or JV. On the wealth elevator, syndications take up a big floor, which is why they span two chapters of this book. In this chapter, we're looking at the basics of syndications, asset classes, roles, and responsibilities of people in a syndication, how to safeguard your investment, and what a sample investment portfolio looks like once you include syndications. The asset classes of a solid syndication. Here are the typical asset classes for real estate syndications: apartment buildings, hotels, self-storage units, office buildings, strip malls, small shopping centers. You can even start to get into the world of buying businesses, engineering firms, CPA firms, plumbing companies, HVAC companies. Syndication is essentially just a means of pulling capital together to go buy an asset, whether that is a physical asset, like a piece of real estate, or a virtual asset, such as a business or online business. You'll notice all these asset classes make a lot of sense for one simple reason: the strong demand and limited supply. One common mistake I see new investors make is that they go out and start investing in all sorts of asset classes because of the newfound novelty of alternative investments that finally make a lot of sense. Technically, you can raise money to syndicate anything: a pizza franchise, a restaurant, multifamily real estate, a mobile home park, even a cryptocurrency fund. I suggest starting with one asset class and going deep on it, ideally apartments. Most of us have rented a home or apartment or rented out our own home, and that provides some real-world perspective in that business. With our syndications, we focus on residential workforce housing. Our projects include ground-up developments, such as apartments built from scratch, or finding stabilized assets such as apartments that are 90% occupied but have some inefficiencies that need to be improved to create more returns. As mentioned earlier, large, lazy institutions offering real estate investment trusts, REITs, are not willing to put in the work for these value-add properties, which is why they don't make as much money. With syndications, partner investors have a huge opportunity to improve the communities and make a boatload of money. Roles in a syndication. As you research syndications and whether to join as an LP, it's important to be aware of the roles involved. General partner. The general partner, or GP, aka syndicator, operator, sponsor, manages the project. An inexperienced new operator will typically put in 10 to 20% or more of the capital raised. An experienced operator puts in even less, and sometimes none. A collective within the general partners, or even one GP, signs on for the debt in their personal names. Those individuals are called the key principals, or loan guarantors. Some regard putting their personal balance sheet as collateral as the ultimate skin in the game, along with putting their reputations online. Limited partner. This is your role, also known as a passive investor, or LP for short. Collectively, passive investors are generally putting in the equity requirement, down payment, capital expenditure plan, closing costs, and reserves, or 25 to 40% of the asset value plus construction, if normal loans or leverage are being used. In a syndication, each partner is putting in a fraction of that. Tax benefits are separated pro rata. LPs play a hands-off role. They don't have to worry about litigation personally, are non-recourse on the debt, and have no management responsibilities. Essentially, the game is to sign the paperwork, wire off your funds, and entrust your GP with their skin in the game to be good stewards of your money. The lender. Often a bank, the lender underwrites the deal and lends money via a rate and term agreement. In most projects, they put in 60 to 80% of the capital. The bank also safeguards to ensure the business plan is followed. They generally write provisions into the loan documents that govern the general partner activities to ensure that the business plan is being implemented and the assets is well managed. Their caution makes sense since they are the largest partner in the deal, which means they have the most money to lose. Because of this, they also conduct the most professional due diligence. Property manager. The property manager is the boots on the ground who directly interacts with tenants. They're managed by the GP. The property management team can be either a professional third party or an in-house team member of the GP. The legal team ensures the deal is SEC compliant. Other legal work includes overseeing the purchase and sale contract, transaction closing, contractor agreements, and other miscellaneous legal needs that might come up, such as tenant lawsuits. The legal team is typically a third-party firm or an in-house counsel of the GP. When syndications are right for you? When is the time to make the move from floor 1 to floor 2? As soon as you can afford the buy-in. That is why we have a wealth elevator. When you're on floor 1, you're focusing on rental properties under 5 to 10 million and competing with a rash of amateurs, real estate club goers, and unsophisticated wealthy families that don't know how to run the numbers and are buying real estate because they hear it's a good investment. This inflates prices for those assets in the sub 5 to 10 million dollar range. Meanwhile, big players like REITs and institutional funds invest in huge apartment complexes and multi-property portfolios. They're in the 40 to 100 million dollar acquisition sides. They also aren't compensated by getting better returns for their clients' money. They can make a relatively small yield and still take a big cut. All of that means they aren't competing for the same properties you want to invest in. Side note, these are the traditional investors that are investing the average Joe's retirement money. Syndications have less competition, which means better pricing for you. That is just one reason syndications at this level are disruptive to the current dynamic in real estate. We are basically democratizing investments. Without the method of syndications, we would not have access to these larger assets that are otherwise only privy to large institutional firms. We are disrupting the real estate and investment industry. We are bringing the people directly to the deal without Wall Street taking its cut. Now, if often it comes up when we interact with real estate brokers who bring us good deals, sometimes, you know, a lot of these off market, and they ask us a little bit about our investor base, a lot of you guys, and they're like, it's a very refreshing for them, and they're sometimes pretty amazed by it. Most of the times they're working with really wealthy families or these institutions, these faceless corporations, and they're like, this is neat. It's kind of going straight to the people, and it's a good feeling here, right? You know, that regular people such as us can finally get access to high quality commercial investments that was once only accessible to the big players out there. By syndication safeguards, when money is pulled together by passive investors, it triggers U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC, rules and governance. And we have to follow a lot of mandated processes to stay in compliance. As an LP, this is no sweat off your back. It actually offers an extra layer of protection because you know that the syndication sponsor, GP, is dotting their I's and crossing their T's. Any screw up can bring on the full force of the U.S. federal enforcement of the SEC law. From an LP's point of view, SEC regulations keep you safer. They help keep foul play out of the equation. Of course, if you are investing with ethical people, you shouldn't have a problem to begin with. As part of those SEC processes, we as GPs create a private placement memorandum document for every deal. This long document discloses the rules of engagements for the participants of the deal. Once the GP sponsor team goes about laying the legal groundwork, it allows the team to raise money legally per SEC rules. My fund employs an experienced legal team to close the real estate transaction and help us comply with SEC laws. This can be costly, but it also gives you, the LP, peace of mind. It means the project has strong oversight and regulation. It's not a back alley understanding or a handshake joint venture at the local real estate club. If something goes wrong, the feds get involved. In my deals, we raise $10 to $20 million to purchase one or multiple assets in the $10 to $50 million range. We aim to cap our investors at a couple hundred people to keep down administrative costs so we can share more with the LPs. This way, minimum investment sizes range from $50,000 to $100,000. Diversify smartly. As we say, live where you want, but invest where the numbers make sense. Syndications allow you to cherry pick the best deals that achieve geographic diversity, while systematically diversifying your portfolio so that your assets are not weighed in one asset class. I often talk with some investors who are really hands-on. Some of these guys are flipping houses and doing that type of stuff. But most times their teams are stuck within one geographic area, like Kansas City or Houston, for example. That obviously is not geographically diversified. Most investors, to get at least some level of diversification, like to invest in at least 3 to 5 geographic markets. By getting into the worlds of syndications as private placements, as a passive investor, now you're able to get that geographic diversity. So even hands-on investors such as that, they may use us to get some deal flow in Florida or Alabama or Dallas, for example, in addition to where they operate their own properties out of. Another guidance I have for new investors is that you should never invest more than 10% of your net worth in any one syndication. Typical deal minimums are $50,000 to $100,000. This is also why I don't think it's wise for any one investor to have a property owned outright with more than 10% of their net worth in it. This contrasts how a lot of unsophisticated high net worth investors roll, with a handful of rentals in one geographic area. I would be uncomfortable with that lack of diversification in terms of assets. Markets change, and diversifying your syndication portfolio in terms of asset classes and geographic locations allows you to weather market changes. How to evaluate syndication deals. As with any real estate investment opportunity, you want to do due diligence before putting your money into a syndication. I offer a free 8 to 10 hour e-course on how to evaluate syndication deals. You can sign up at thewealthelevator.com/syndication. Once there, sign up for the club and you'll get access to all this free content. And I would say, once you go through this entire syndication e-course, you're probably going to know more than most accredited investors out there. Sample investment portfolio. We will discuss tax implications in a later chapter. But for now, I want to provide the big picture of what a real-life portfolio might look like. To date, I have not read one book discussing this topic. Truthfully, a book cannot go into the complexities of building your mature portfolio. That can only come from meeting other purely passive accredited investors investing in dozens of these types of syndications. What I can do here is give you some broad strokes as to what an ideal syndication portfolio might look like. Let's assume you're investing in syndications, such as value-add buildings and development projects that spend about 5 years. If an individual invests in one deal per quarter, that amounts to 4 deals per year. Assuming each deal takes 5 years to complete its business plan and be sold, that would total 20 deals in a 5-year period. While this number may seem arbitrary, it actually provides a reasonable portfolio size for allocating one's net worth, or alternative asset allocation, into these segments. A portfolio of 20 deals gives you diversification, yet is still manageable and leaves room to expand. Consider this example. Investing $100,000 each in 20 deals would amount to $2 million of investable assets. This could position you within the range of floor 2 of the wealth elevator. The next logical step would be to expand your portfolio. At this point, most investors typically increase their investment size, perhaps moving towards $200,000 or $250,000 per deal. By increasing the investment size, you can better keep track of your numerous investments. Somewhere under 50 to 60 investments is a good top-line number that still allows ample diversification. On some occasions, investors decrease the number of deals that they are in, but have more money working in the deals. As of today, I have nearly 100 live investments. That isn't an issue for me because the K-1 tax forms I get are pretty simple, but I admit it can be a significant commitment for a regular passive investor. And as a side note, the reason why I'm doing that personally is, of course, most of these deals, I'm a general partner and operate, but I'm always guinea pigging other operators out there. And especially when I'm investing outside of my wheelhouse into different asset classes, this is a way that I test the waters there. When deals reach their full cycle, they return investments to the LP investors. The deals generate capital gains and depreciation recapture. At this point, it might make sense to reinvest the capital into another deal to offset the tax on the difference. This is one reason spacing out investments is beneficial, not only for taxes, but also dollar cost averaging to account for economic uncertainties. Now, if you're reading this book after 2024, what I would recommend is go look at the cap rates within commercial real estate. Just go ahead and Google that chart. From 2010 to 2022 was a great bull market, but from 2022 to 2024 was a period of correction. As many people say that business cycles and market cycles typically last anywhere from 7 to 10 years, one could say that the correction in 2022 to 2024 was inevitable. That said, you never know when the top is going to be. And as an investment firm, we lived through this. And thankfully, we had been operating much prior to the 2022-23 correction. As a personal investor myself, what saved me was spanning my investment portfolio from 4 to 7 years or more is really what's going to bridge you over the times when the market does take a dip. Of course, you want to be investing in specific deals underwritten to overcome market corrections, but you can take it upon yourself to diversify your portfolio in not only different deals, different geographic areas, but spread apart on this longer 4 to 7 year time horizon. That said, when you're starting out, it's going to be very difficult to do this, as you will likely be exposed and front loading your portfolio. But it's just a key concept to keep in mind. You'll get there. We're here to help. Your investment plan. Let's look at another aspect of passive investor plan too. It's time to press the pedal, growth. Your plan is all about expansion. Work to grow your alternative investments portfolio from 40% to 100% of your net worth. As you invest more, you have more ability to adjust your gross income lower, saving more on taxes. You should be able to start saving into your accredited investor bank, or AIB. More on that in Chapter 6. Your policy should be $10,000 to $100,000 per year in contributions to your AIB. Legal. If you are investing as an LP, you don't really have to worry about liability coming from the investments like you would with direct ownership in rentals. However, if your net worth has surpassed $1 million, and you don't already have an LLC holding company for some separation of your assets and yourself, Now is the stage where a legal entity becomes cost effective. Invest all new deals there and don't commingle high liability rentals or your business with your low liability LP holdings. If you need a referral to a CPA or an attorney that we use, feel free to reach out to the team and we can get you connected so you can start to build your team of professionals. Retirement. Continue the same strategies from floor one. You might have to start tapping your QRP funds to continue to deploy more funds into alternative assets. Home equity. If you own a home, use your existing home equity to invest. You can downsize, sell the house, and invest the profits, or cash out refinance. Consider transferring your home equity first into your AIB. Of course, not every deal is created equal, and not every syndication is going to be the right fit for your investment philosophy. In the next chapter, the upsides and downsides of syndications and how some investors are building their portfolios.